This is David Barsamian of Alternative Radio, and you're listening to KWMR, Point Reyes Station.
KWMR's programming is brought to you by The Pacific Sun, online at pacificsun.com. That's pacificsun.com.
This is Epicenter on KWMR, West Marin Community Radio. Epicenter is rebroadcast Monday through Thursday at 5 p.m. It features a wide array of community and public affairs. Today, your host will be Jim Fazakerly. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, good morning, Jeff. Misinformation, viral hoaxes, conspiracy theories. As consumers of information, we are all bombarded with a pack of lies in some cases, or just deliberate or not deliberate distortions of information. So our challenge is to fend off the lies and misinformation, detecting fact from opinion, or worse, misinformation. How to do that is the mission of the News Literacy Project, a nonpartisan national education nonprofit. NLP produces programs and resources for educators and the public, aiming to teach, learn, and share the abilities needed to be smart, active consumers of the news and information, and just as important, equal and engaged participants in our democracy. Today on Epicenter, we're joined by one of the leaders of this organization, Mike Webb, the Senior Vice President of Communications for NLP. Mike, welcome to KWMR.
Hi, thanks. Good to be here, Jim.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for joining us. And I wonder if you could catch us up for listeners who might not be familiar with the origin story of the National Literacy Project, with what was the background origin for your organization?
So we were founded in 2008 by Alan C. Miller. He was a journalist at the Los Angeles Times. He's won a Pulitzer Prize for some of his investigative reporting, as well as other numerous journalism awards. And he went to speak to his daughter's sixth grade class to just talk about the news business and what he did. And in the course of speaking to them, he saw how unprepared they were. Even though they were digital natives, they really didn't know how to judge the information that was coming their way. And so it kind of occurred to him that we needed to do a better job of explaining to young people, you know, the difference between fact or news and opinion, and just all the different memes and things they see. He wanted them to better understand how they were coming about and what they meant. So he founded us in 2008. We launched our first classroom program in 2009. And then I think the big turning point for us came in 2016, with the election and the Russian interference that took place. That's when more people of the need for news literacy.
I see. And even in 2020, I read in background research for our talk today that I think it was the Pew Research Center still reports that high schoolers, by and large, have difficulty discerning between fact and fiction when they're reading news sources still. So your work is still cut out for you. Mike, how about your own trail into the National Literacy, the News Literacy Project? What led you there?
Well, for me, it was sort of a moment of trying to figure out what I wanted to do next, and I knew I wanted to do something education-related. My background is working in communications, particularly for media outlets. So
I see.
I was the PR person for The Nation magazine during the Iraq War. And I was the founding communications director for ProPublica starting in 2008 when they launched. So I wanted to combine that with something in education. And when I came across the News Literacy Project, I just kind of instantly knew that this was something that appealed to me and that they were doing really good work. And, you know, I love the combination of there's sort of a civics element in the work that we do, in the sense that we're really trying to help people better understand the country they live in and how our democracy functions.
Right. The whole engaged citizenry angle for that.
Exactly.
If you're just joining us today, this is Epicenter. I'm your host, Jim Fazakerly. On the line with us is our guest, Mike Webb. He's the senior vice president of the News Literacy Project, which is a nonprofit dedicated toward helping students and others detect fact from opinion, or worse, misinformation in the information that they receive. So in terms of programs, Mike, can you give us a quick Cook's tour of what the News Literacy Project offers? And I'm also interested, of course, in the in Checkology, because that's a prominent feature in all of your materials.
Yeah, Checkology is probably our most popular resource that we use. But the first thing I'll do is give a plug. For listeners who are interested, go to newslit.org. And when you come to our website, you'll see at the top we have information for educators. If you're a teacher and you'd like to begin teaching news literacy, we've got a bunch of tools and resources there. And then if you're just a member of the general public, which I suspect most of your listeners are, you can go to that section and you'll see the many things we have. And so you asked about Checkology. That is a it's called Checkology Virtual Classroom. It's a browser-based platform that has, I think, 9 different lessons for the general public. It's got 14 different lessons overall, and it's free. And you can basically test your own news literacy skills and learn a little bit more about how to verify information, how the news business works. Like, there's one lesson that teaches you how to be an editor and make judgments about how a reporter should cover a story and who's a reliable source. There's another our latest lesson is called conspiratorial thinking, and that's yeah, exactly. That helps people understand how conspiracies form and how to recognize them, and kind of offer some tips on how to avoid them. And then the other lesson that I'm really fond of is understanding bias. And that one is, helps people understand. I mean, people throw out the charge that a news organization is biased, but really it has so many different meanings that we sort of try and break down all those different things and help people understand.
Right, right. So there is a little bit of a difference between the Checkology product that is designed for students versus for the general public. Could you outline that difference a little bit for us, Mike?
Actually, the lessons are the same. There's just a fewer lessons because we wanted to focus on the most essential lessons in the Checkology platform. So I think overall that you'll still have access to the same content, but we just kind of outlined, do a little more focused on the ones that are available for the general public.
I see. And in the program materials, your case studies, if you will, are they drawn from recent headlines? I mean, they use real cases.
Yeah, so we have a weekly newsletter. The one for the general public is called Get Smart About News, and it sort of features the breakdowns of the latest memes, hoaxes, conspiracy theories, all the highlights of misinformation for the week, if you will. And it sort of shows like how the meme developed. And then we sort of debunk it, or we use other people who have debunked it and show how they took it apart. So we'll look at where was the photo actually taken, or who was the person actually involved, or was the photo manipulated, things like that.
So for people who are inclined toward accepting the notion of conspiracies being, you know, a real phenomenon, even so, this tool or this toolbox could help them discern which are the conspiracies to lend credence to?
Yeah, that's basically it. You'll walk through the lesson. It's led by a woman named Renee DiResta, and she's from Stanford, has an Internet Observatory group. And they helped us develop the lesson, and it'll offer you. It takes a very holistic approach. So it shows, you know, there are some conspiracies that are real. So we want to acknowledge that. But things like QAnon are, you know, it's completely fictional and baseless. Mm-hmm. So it'll sort of walk you through the traits of those conspiracy theories. Like, for instance, with QAnon. There was a wide belief that President Trump was going to continue being president and that Joe Biden wasn't actually going to be inaugurated. But, you know, when that didn't happen, they changed the goalposts and said, well, no, March 4th is the day when that's going to happen. And so we kind of show people how these conspiracy theories are always kind of iterating. And when what they expect doesn't happen, then they make up a brand new reasoning for why it didn't happen and go there.
Right. So that can be very useful. You're listening to Epicenter this morning. I'm Jim Fazakerly on the line with our guest, who is Mike Webb. He's the Senior Vice President for the News Literacy Project. That's a national nonprofit that is helping students and the general public discern between the fact and fiction that comes to them daily in a barrage of information. So, Mike, I'm sure over the years that you and the leadership of the organization have enjoyed pushback from various advocacy organizations, probably on the left and the right of the political spectrum. Are you greeted with skepticism from other entities as well? I'm thinking like school boards or parent groups about your efforts.
Well, that's a good question, and there's a couple of angles to that in the sense that school boards tend to welcome the content, but it's really more about the educator themselves, the teacher in the classroom.
Yeah.
If they want to use the materials and they feel like this is really important for them, again, everything is free, so it's really a matter of them signing up and just getting an understanding of how they can use our resources to teach their kids. As far as school boards go, we're generally trying to deal with a entire school system, school district. So sometimes we will make an approach, like we're working with the LA Unified School District and New York City Public Schools, approaches were through the school systems to come down. But then on the political side, like you mentioned, the left and the right, I think there is some skepticism and there has been some pushback. But I think what people find with us is that we're rigorously nonpartisan, and I mean that in the sense that if you look at our newsletter, you'll see examples of misinformation from the left and examples on the right. We have quizzes on our website, so you can go there and test yourself to see if you recognize the memes that circulate on the left about the right, or you can look at memes that circulate in right-wing communities, conservative communities about the left. And then I'll just add another way that we are very careful and tread carefully to make sure that we're you know, being even-handed. A couple of members of our board are Republican political operatives. One worked in the Bush administration. Another is a consultant. But they've provided really great perspective and have helped us, you know, get a foot in some places where there might be some additional skepticism.
Okay, so it sounds like you're making extensive efforts around overcoming distrust and building relationships that can expand your program. You know, one of the features, by the way, since we're talking about expanding the program, I had come across a feature where you have regional ambassadors for the literacy project. Is that a thing? I mean, do you have people in a given area, such as, you know, Northern California, that would be helping various organizations to assess and possibly adopt your programs?
Yes, we do. So we have ambassadors in 9 U.S. cities. We call them ambassadors because they're sort of point people to help push for news literacy to be taught in their school systems, in their citywide school systems. But we also just launched last month a new program called NewsLit Nation. And that's sort of a even larger organization where educators can come together. They can share tips on how they're teaching news literacy to their students. And we're also hoping to use them to push for news literacy to be taught in their state. So one of our longer-term goals is to make sure that every student who graduates has had some experience being taught news literacy skills. So they're going to start to push for legislation to require that.
I see. What are some of your partner organizations? Do you have other organizations that assist you with your program content or with implementing programs?
Yes, we do. So we just completed the last week of January, we completed what we call National News Literacy Week, and we work with the EW Scripps Company on that. They have they've got, I think, over 40 different TV stations as well as, different media properties. So they're an excellent partner for us to work with and spread awareness of our work. And then as far as other partners, like I mentioned, we have the Stanford Observatory, Internet Observatory, and they helped us develop the Checkology lesson. We've had Claire Wardle, who is one of the leaders at First Draft. She's helped us with one of our lessons. We often partner with other media outlets to host events that we call a NewsLit Camp, where we'll bring in educators for a professional development opportunity into a newsroom so that they can mingle and mix with the journalists who actually produce the news and then kind of learn what their process is, and then they can take that back to their classrooms. And we've done those with, everyone from the Wall Street Journal, just did one with CNN. We did a combined one with a bunch of news outlets in Chicago, and we did one with the San Francisco Chronicle about a year ago.
Oh, I see. Any field trips over to Fox News by any chance?
We would not be opposed. We're not partisan. So
yeah, right.
We do have, now that you say that, there's a member of the Dow Jones from Fox is on our board of directors, too.
Oh, very good. Okay.
Yeah.
You're listening to Epicenter on KWMR. I'm Jim Fisarkerly. I'm today's show host. And Mike Webb is joining us from the News Literacy Project, a national nonprofit that aims to help students and the general public discern between fact and fiction in the information that flows to them. So, Mike, I'm interested in getting a little bit granular with you for just a minute, and maybe you could give us some really specific examples of some of the maybe more prevalent strategies or tips for verifying information. So could you give us some examples?
Sure. So I think the one that's probably most common is lateral reading, and that's a term that was coined by the Chegg at Stanford. And what that really involves is going to multiple sources to verify what you've seen. So let's say you see a story on Fox News, you're not sure if it's accurate or not. So you could go to, we would encourage you to go look at the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal or some other, your local news organization to see what they're reporting about that. And that will help you verify it. But some other simple tricks are just to go through the comments and see if somebody is objecting to what's been posted. If somebody's raising some red flags, then again, that gives you an opportunity to evaluate it yourself. Another tip we would offer is to use Google reverse image searches. So if you see a photo and you're not quite sure if it's the accurate photo, then you can do a reverse image search and verify where the original came from and see if everything matches up, and then you'll know you're looking at an undoctored image. So there's lots of little things like that that you can do that will really help you sort of improve your newslet skills and verify information.
Right. And then through your programs, let's say you've completed a curriculum with a given cohort, what kinds of measurements are you using to see if the programs are having an impact?
So we do a lot of assessment of what we're doing. So we will, before students begin using our Checkology lesson, we will test them on it to see where their understanding and knowledge is before that we begin teaching them. And then after they're done, we like to do another assessment where we try to measure exactly what they learned, and not just what they learned, will it actually stick with them? Will they carry this on when they're outside of the classroom?
Right.
And our metrics are very good. We're definitely seeing a lot of progress in the skills building. I wish I had the numbers right in front of me, but we definitely see, once people are exposed to these things, it sort of becomes like a detective. Like the student can be a detective, and they can go hunt for clues as to ascertain whether the information they're looking at is factual or fictional. So we see a lot of progress on that front.
Right. It's definitely an empowerment exercise. What about the nexus between consuming information in a critical way and then growing your engagement as a citizen in the democracy? I know that that's pretty much laced throughout your mission statement. How do you see that connection literally happening in the real world?
Well, so one aspect of news literacy is teaching a better appreciation of a better understanding of the First Amendment, and in the process of that, students understand that the role of the press is to ask what can be considered adversarial questions. They're not supposed to just lie down and be stenographers for what the powerful say. They should challenge it. And so as we teach a greater appreciation of the First Amendment, students and people begin to understand the watchdog role of the press, and they understand that they're just performing their function. So, and then as you begin to understand that, it helps foster a little more trust in the news, that you understand that they're not just publishing some point of view. They're publishing a report that has been vigorously checked, reviewed by an editor. They've talked to multiple sources. Just all the things that journalists do, and it helps kind of foster a greater connection with the audience, and the audience knows that they can trust the information coming from this news outlet. And then we find that most people, once that happens, most people become a little more engaged. They want to know more about what's happening in their community. And then once you know more about what's going on, you tend to become a more active voter. You might go to a school board meeting. You become more involved because it becomes more meaningful to you.
Right. I appreciate you breaking that down, by the way. And how about for the organization itself? So NLP is growing. It sounds like at a pretty strong rate. Are there any challenges right now for your organization across either the political or the economic landscape?
Always challenges, particularly in fundraising, although we're like I said, we're kind of since 2016, we've been growing really rapidly, so that's good. But I mean, the challenge of misinformation has just grown. We've got a far too large percentage of the country still believes that the election was unfair, and really trying to help people understand that. There were challenges, multiple challenges. The courts had an opportunity to review this. It's pretty, even the U.S. government, when Trump was the president, basically said this was probably the the freest and fairest election we've ever had. So just trying to surmount that has been really tough. But on a positive note, we're seeing much more uptake of our content, where we're at the point now where we have over 32,000 educators are registered to use Checkology, and we're reaching over 120,000 students. And so it might sound small, but I mean, it took a lot of work to get there, and
right.
These numbers are just growing and growing. So I feel like we're making a lot of progress, and more people understand the need for news literacy, and I think that more states are going to begin to require it to be taught.
Right, and just circling back to that notion of trust, I think that as more and more districts find that the products that you're putting out are reliable and credible, useful to their students, that becomes a kind of example that other districts want to join up with. So I would imagine you'll continue to experience that kind of growth. For folks who are interested in either news literacy in general, maybe, or specifically about the work of your nonprofit, or even how to support you, what are some places that they can go to do a slightly deeper dive into the news literacy project?
So first, I would recommend going to our website. Newslist.org. And you can see, again, all the resources we have available. And I would encourage people to search for some of the quizzes that are on our website so that you can kind of just test your own knowledge and news literacy ability. But you can also follow us on all the major social platforms. So Facebook, we're Newslit Project on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. So you can find us on those platforms. We also use Flipgrid to sort of have a steady diet of content that we post there. And then I would also encourage people to sign up for our newsletters. If you're an educator, we have a newsletter. It's called The Sift, and it has prompts for how you can teach some of the hoaxes and misinformation in the newsletter to your students in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a public-facing version of that that's called Get Smart About News. And that just doesn't have the classroom prompts, but it still has most of the same information.
Oh, great. That sounds like a lot of great resources for our listeners. Mike Webb, thank you so much for joining us today on KWMR. This is Epicenter, and I'm your host, Jim Fazakerly. And thank you again for joining us, talking about news literacy from the News Literacy Project. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you very much, Jim. Take care.
Epicenter is a series dedicated to community and public affairs in West Marin. If you have ideas for topics, email programming@kwmr.org. Epicenter is rebroadcast at 5 p.m. every Monday through Thursday. You can stream the audio archives of Epicenter shows on our homepage at kwmr.org.